James chapter 1 and verse 19. And there is a command in Scripture in James 1 and verse 19 that is important for us to remember in the days that we are living in. Very unusual days. How many times over the last several months have we said that? Boy, numerous times, isn't it? But it's very, very true. Not only are we in the middle of a pandemic, we are also in the middle of a time where we see our country devolving into, boy, awful close to anarchy. In some places it is anarchy, isn't it? And in other places it's just a bad political situation. And we find ourselves in a situation where, more than ever before, it seems like there is a bad spirit all around us. And I think many of you can feel it and sense it like I can. Thank you, sir, right there. I can tell you that there have been many times in the last several months since March when I have struggled with just a feeling of being overwhelmed, hopelessness, a feeling of just darkness, like there's no end in sight, that type of thing. And I imagine that many of you have been there with me. And it's not all just because of, well, there's a pandemic and people are shutting things down and all of that. It doesn't seem to answer everything. But what I believe is going on is that the spiritual battle has ramped up. And perhaps the pandemic is a part of that. Perhaps it's just a side note that God allowed. But the spiritual battle, I do believe, in the last several months has ramped up, that Satan is gearing up for some things. Now, whether or not this means that things will never get back to what we used to think of as normal, I don't know. I'm still hopeful that they are. I'm still praying, as I mentioned last week, that things will return to normal as far as that the restrictions and things like that will be lifted. I'm still praying on all of those fronts. But at the same time, it just seems like there is a spiritual battle going on. Well, one of the problems or one of the things that happens with us as Christians, if we're honest, is we can get sucked right into that. And I've noticed with myself and I've noticed with others that to a great extent we are getting sucked into it. And the Bible here in James 1 has a verse for us that's important for us to remember. And this is a verse that you and I need to remember. I would title the message, COVID-19 and Your Tongue. All right, COVID-19 and Your Tongue. So the first point in the message is don't lick doorknobs during COVID-19. Isn't that a good first point? No, that's not really the first point. And we're not talking about licking doorknobs or not licking doorknobs. Some of you just lost your appetite. You were going to get Culverized after the service, and you've decided now you're not going to Culver's. You've lost your appetite. That's probably a good thing. It'll keep you thinner, all right? But we're not talking about those kind of things. I'm talking about what we say. COVID-19 and your tongue. Let's look at verse 19 of James 1 and James 1, verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. COVID-19 and your tongue. What should our tongue be like during these days? Well, the truth of the matter is, it should be a certain way right now, and it's the same way that it should be whether there's a pandemic or not. We should be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath at all times. And it definitely is true with our tongue. I thought about making the emphasis of this message on social media, but I'm not going to do that because the Bible just talks about your tongue. But let me say, as I'm going through this, let's keep in mind this would definitely be true with social media. Social media is not evil in and of itself, and yet let me say this, it's evil. I'm kidding, it's not really evil. But some days it feels like it's evil. Social media has been a platform that during these days, I'm going to lay it out in front of you as plainly and clearly as I can. Get ready with those steel-toed boots. It has shown the worst side of Christians. And I think that social media has given Christians an opportunity to destroy their testimony like never before. And I've seen it. And perhaps I've even been a part of it. Perhaps you've been a part of it. But it all goes back to our tongue, whether it is on the printed page, whether it's on a digital page, whether it's on social media, whether it's an email, whether it's a text, whether it's with your neighbor across the fence, or with a, you know, at the water cooler at work, or here in church. What should our tongue be like? What should the situation with our tongue be like? Well, swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Let's talk about that. Before we do, let's pray. Lord, we need you in this message time. Thank you for your word. Thank you that it reproves us. Thank you that it shows us how we need to change. And Lord, with this verse, I know these are areas where we need to change. Lord, we're not swift to hear. We are not slow to speak. And we're not slow to wrath. Lord, we're slow to hear. We're quick to speak and quick to wrath. Lord, would you give us repentance tonight? That our minds would be changed, that our hearts would be changed to agree with your word, that we would stop thinking our way and start thinking your way. Lord, do it with me. Do it with all of us as a church. Do it with this church body. And Lord, Christians in general, please help us. In Jesus' name, amen. There was a post by Dave Ramsey that went viral. How many of you know who Dave Ramsey is? Lift your hands up. All right, most of you. All right, all the intelligent ones, which is pretty much all of you. Dave Ramsey is a financial guru, and he's a financial guru that, in my opinion, bases most of his things on fairly biblical principles. Maybe not everything. Everything's not perfect, but he's pretty good, and he's very wise. Like he says, he gives you financial advice that your grandmother would give you, only he keeps his teeth in. All right? So very good. There, that offended half the crowd right there. Okay, but it's true. He gives good biblical common sense financial advice. Well, there's a post that went viral of him, it is a letter written basically saying, with all of the coin shortage that we're going through and the different things where different businesses are asking you not to use cash for COVID-19, think about what a cashless society means. A cashless society means no cash. So that means for your kid to have a lemonade stand, not going to happen, right? For you to do a side job and maybe there's a person in your neighborhood that needs, you know, some lawn work done and you send your 13-year-old kid over there to do the lawn work, they're not going to be able to be paid, right? Or if they do, it's going to have to be some transaction that's going to be tracked by the government, okay? How many of you saw that? It was a viral post. I saw it. How many of you saw it? Raise your hand. Boy, you're so non-connected. What do you guys do all day? Work or something? What is this, only a couple of us? It went viral. And a lot of people shared it. Only problem is, did you know that Dave Ramsey never wrote that? Dave Ramsey did not write that. It went viral. All kinds of people were posting it. People I know, friends I know, were posting it. I read it and said, it sounds like Dave Ramsey to me. And he was saying, don't let us go to a cashless society. We need, cash, all this kind of stuff, which I agree with. Yeah, we need cash. I don't like the idea of a cashless society, blah, 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 blah. Only problem is, he didn't write that. You mean somebody forged it? You mean something was on the internet? Something was on Facebook and on Instagram and somebody tweeted this out and it wasn't true? You mean somebody actually lied and said that Dave Ramsey said that and he didn't? Yes. So Dave Ramsey put on his Facebook page today, or maybe it was his Instagram page, he said, in quotes now, this is a quote, he quoted somebody, he said, "Not everything on the internet is true," and it was signed Abe Lincoln. Get it? Get it? Not everything on the internet is true. Abe Lincoln. Okay, there you go. I thought it was pretty good. It took me a second to get it, but I like that. The reason that I bring that up is how many people repost things like that? They see it. They go, oh, yeah, that sounds good. Repost it. Wait a minute. Are you sure that's true? If you're posting stuff about statistics that you see that is on somebody else's feed, for or against one way or another, are you sure they're true? Oh, but Pastor, people wouldn't lie like that. No, people will absolutely flat out lie. And we ought to be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. One of the problems with social media, one of the reasons it's brought out the worst in us as Christians, is we can be quick to speak with just a click of a button. Share. Boom. It's done. And many times, we share things that are, hold on now, a lie. And who's the father of lies? Satan. And we share in Satan's work, and we don't even know it. And it's not because our heart has an evil intent, but we simply don't heed God's word, which says, be swift to hear, slow to speak. And that includes your news feed. And social media gives us an opportunity to very easily disregard what the Word of God says. And everybody's opinionated on social media, aren't they? Everybody's an expert. I mean, I didn't even realize that we had so many medical experts and political experts and sociological experts in my friends group. It's amazing. And sometimes I feel like I'm an expert in those things too. And by the way, I'm not. I'm not even an expert at what I get paid to do. But sometimes it's easy for me to feel like it because, oh, it'd be so easy to just type something out or say something to somebody at work or my family or a friend or here at church or whatever. But the Bible tells us that we're to be different than that. Let's look at these three things and break them down. Number one, we should be swift to hear. That's what it says in verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. Let me give you some things that it means to be swift to hear. It means that it is your first inclination to hear somebody. Can you say that it is your first inclination to hear somebody? In other words, here's an example. When you're in a conversation and someone else begins to speak, is your first inclination to do this? Is it your inclination to stop talking when someone else talks? Or is your first inclination to kind of ignore what they're saying and try to get your opinion in there? If it's the latter, then you're not swift to hear. You see, swift to hear is just what it says. I'm speeding up as quick as I can to get done what I want to say so I can hear, what do you have to say? What is it that you think? And many times, we're the other way, aren't we? To be swift to hear means that we, listen, seek to understand. Being swift to hear just doesn't mean letting the sound waves go in your ear. It's the idea of seeking to understand somebody. When you are talking with somebody, let's go really sensitive here. We've already dug a hole, so let's just step on some more toes, dig the hole a little bit bigger, all right? Let's talk about your marriage. Ooh, here we go. When your spouse is talking, are you hearing them or are you seeking to understand them? Are you listening with an intent to not just hear the words, but what do they mean? What are they feeling? What is their heart? When you speak to your friend or brother or sister in Christ here at church, do you seek to understand? Are you swift to hear? Or are you swift to speak? It means this, that when someone else is talking, that you're not thinking about what you're going to say next. I won't ask for a raise of hands, but how many of you, when someone else is speaking, you find yourself kind of hearing them but not hearing them because you're thinking about how you're going to respond? Now, I'll be honest with you, and I'm not asking you to raise your hand. I'm just saying this. I battle with that. And that's a predisposition of mine. That means I'm not swift to hear. That means I'm swift to speak. I'm waiting for the opportunity to put in my two cents. And I should be swift to hear. It means, and this is important, you'll see this as we look at some of the verses around. In fact, you know what? We need to look at the verse. Let's look at verse 17, and then I'll give you the point underneath swift to hear. Verse 17, let's read the verse together. I'll count to three, and then I want you to read James 1:17 with me. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. All right, now, by the way, then obviously verse 18 talks about we were begotten by God with the word of truth, that we could be a type of first fruits, right? And then verse 19 says, wherefore, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. The wherefore ties it back to the things that were previously said. What I believe that God is trying to give us an idea of is with verse 17, the context is no temptation that overtakes you is from God. God is not tempting you to sin. And then he says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. But then, like two verses later, he says, wherefore, be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. You know what that tells me is there's at least some extent where God is trying to tell me that the people around me are a gift to me. Let me say that again. The people around me are a gift to me. Now, I know you think probably like I think, and that is, I am a gift to the people around me. Thank you. Some of you nodded your head. Yes, Pastor, that's what you are. Indulge me. But that's not the truth. The truth is the other way around. You have strengths where I'm weak. And yes, I have strengths where you're weak. But regarding my view, I'm to look at those around me as God brought them to me. Let's think of this. In marriage again, are there differences between the husband and the wife? Yes. Yes. Physical differences. Definitely. By the way, do we complain about those? Physical differences. Husbands, when you first got married, did you complain about the physical differences between you and your wife? You were glad that person you married was a woman and not a man. Amen? I can say that about my wife. I was glad she was a woman and not a man. I lived with men for a while in a dorm. No, thank you. I was very glad that she was different than me. But wait a minute, she's not just physically different. She's emotionally different. Spiritually, to some extent, she's different. She's philosophically different in some ways, etc., etc. Now, we're pretty close. Our families are very similar. We grew up with the same standards and stuff like that to a great extent. So, I mean, we had a lot in common, but there were differences, and I appreciate those differences. Now, let's broaden those relationships and look around at the church. When I'm swift to hear, I recognize, you know what? God put so-and-so and so-and-so and sister over here and brother over there and even young person over here. God put them in the church as a gift to me. So, Mike Weiss, shut your mouth. Be swift to hear. Because God brought them to you. And sometimes, I'm just going to use me as an example, I'm yapping so much that I miss the wisdom that God could give me if I was just swift to hear. I remember being in college, and Brother Vineyard was the pastor there. I've talked to you about Brother Vineyard, a wise man, not perfect by any means, but a wise man. One time he invited me and another two other men to go with him on a trip to Texas from Oklahoma City and just to be there and kind of be his companions and all that kind of stuff. And so I said, absolutely, I'd love to go with you. And I remember coaching myself in my mind, don't talk. Just be quiet. Just listen, because Brother Vineyard will appreciate that if you just listen. And I got that advice from my dad. My dad used to teach me that. My dad is from the old school. I still like it. Still think it's the right school. Children need to be quiet when they're in the presence of adults. Children, listen. Adults have wisdom. But wait a minute. Adults, be quiet. other adults, have wisdom. Be swift to hear and recognize that. But it doesn't just say swift to hear, it says we should be slow to speak. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak. That we need to be slow to speak. What that tells us is there is a time to speak. There's a time for me to open my mouth. Turn with me, if you would, to Ephesians chapter number 4. While you're turning over to Ephesians, think about this now, what these things would mean. If I look at swift to hear, what would that mean about my social media platform and what I do with that? Well, that would mean that I'm more apt to try to learn from other people than I am to try to teach other people. Now, let me say this. Social media is probably not the place to learn. I exemplified that. Listen, you cannot believe a lot of what's on there. A lot. A lot. Whether it's conservative or not, listen, don't believe most of it. Check it out first. I've seen good people get burned big time and have to send out an apology to all their friends. Sorry about that. Don't do that. Just be careful, okay? But let's look at now. There's a time to speak. There's a time to say what's right. Ephesians 4. Notice this. Verse 1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called, in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Now notice verse 7, this goes along with what we just said. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. In other words, we're all different. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's right along with what we talked about. God put other people in the church as a gift to me, verse 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. By the way, let's stop there for just a second. Verse 14 talks about the church was given and the different gifts in the church were given so that we would not be children tossed to and fro. That is another reason, by the way, why you need church. Because you are just like me. You have a tendency to be swayed by the winds. And there's something about being in God's house with God's people, face to face, being able to be reproved, rebuked, exhorted, all those things that keeps me grounded. That reminds me of what is important. And when Christians get away from the local church, every time, they drift. Every time. Because God designed it so that I would be anchored. Okay? Let's move to verse 15. Here's what it says now. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working of the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. What I wanted to point out to you in all those verses that we read is that the church has different gifts. And then in verse 15, it says, speaking the truth in love. There is a time to speak. We need to. You can't keep your mouth shut and never say anything. You need to speak. You need to speak the truth. The problem is not that we are usually slow to speak too much. Our problem is that we are usually swift to speak. And we usually don't say it in love either. But you need to speak up for the Lord. When you have a brother or sister in Christ that needs help, speak to them. Sometimes you have to say hard things. But that's what friends do. Be slow to speak, But when the time comes, speak. And make sure that it is in love. But be slow to speak. Ephesians 4:29, look at that verse, and it gives us the parameters by which we can know what to speak. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. So, that's the parameters, the guidelines. If I'm going to speak, I need to make sure that it will edify, that it will minister grace unto the hearers. I need to speak things that will help people, that will encourage them, that will draw them closer to Christ. And are you speaking those things? That means that at times, I'm going to have to shut my mouth because there's nothing good for me to say that will edify. Like Mom used to say, right? If you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. Good advice. That's biblical. But that also means at times that I need to open my mouth. It would be sin for me to keep my mouth closed at times. But I need to make sure that I do so slowly. And by the way, let me encourage you, study the life of Jesus, our Savior. He wasn't everywhere in every place, always shouting and screaming and letting everybody know what their problems were. The Bible says that he didn't do that. He wasn't in the street yelling and screaming at everybody. Most of the time, he was looking for those who were seeking. At times, was he boisterous? Yes. But it's pretty rare. Pretty rare. He was slow to speak, and that was our Savior. But it not only says swift to hear and slow to speak, it says slow to wrath. Slow to wrath. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Proverbs, chapter number 14 in Proverbs. We also need to be slow to wrath. And one of the things that happens when we're not slow to speak and when we are not swift to hear is we get filled with wrath. We get filled with anger over things. And again, these are things that I've seen in these days. I've experienced them in my own life in these days. Let's see here. Boy, that is not right. I do not like it when I do that. I missed the verse that I wanted to. Turn with me to chapter 16. Somehow I wrote it down wrong. Boy, and I wrote that one down wrong too. That's terrible. We're going to leave that alone. In the book of Proverbs, somewhere it tells you to be slow to wrath. Is it 15:1? That's not the one. Oh, you know what? I know what it is. Thank you. I'm in the book of Psalms. Don't say anything. Be slow to speak, all right? Okay. especially if you're picking on your pastor, then be really slow to speak, all right? And at least wait till he's gone. All right, who laughed back there? I heard a little kid. All right, I'll keep note of that over there. All right, very good. Proverbs 14:29. That's okay. I'll laugh at me too, and my kids do, so you're right in good company. Proverbs 14:29. I was looking at Psalms. So here we go. Verse 29. He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. So think about the first part of that verse. The person who is of great understanding. If you know anything about Proverbs, you know that great understanding is part of wisdom. And wisdom is received when somebody seeks after wisdom. Wisdom's in the street. She cries aloud. She, you know, calls to men, right? But people need to seek her as they would silver and gold. And when they get that wisdom, that great understanding, what will happen to them? They'll be slow to wrath. Isn't that amazing? When I walk with God, I actually am slow to wrath. I'm not quick to it. I don't look around at all the sin around me and look around at everybody's failures and say, boy, why doesn't God just squash them like bugs? That's not a person of great understanding. A person of great understanding is slow to wrath. But rather, he that is hasty of spirit, that's the opposite of being slow to wrath. Their spirit can get worked up real quick. Have you ever said this to somebody? Don't get me started. I have in like the last 24 hours. You know what that's a sign of? A hasty spirit. You know when I'm hasty in spirit? You know what I'm doing? I'm exalting folly. Folly, foolishness. I'm lifting that up. Whoa! You know what that shows me? When I'm quick to get into wrath, I'm not walking in the spirit. And what happens when I'm not walking in the spirit? I'll get into all kinds of sin. I'll get into all kinds of, let's be honest, lusts of the flesh. Isn't that interesting? I need to be careful that I'm swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Look at Proverbs 16 and verse 32. Proverbs 16 and verse 32. Notice what the Word of God says there. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. That's harder for us to do than being a strong man and good at war. We're actually better than those people when we can rule our own spirit. Well, that only happened through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, let me say this about wrath. The fact that it says slow to wrath means, just like being slow to speak, there is a time for wrath. God's going to bring wrath someday. And there is a time to be angry about stuff. But wait a minute. I better be slow. That means it matters how quickly I get to wrath. I ought to be long-suffering because God is long-suffering. I have to be slow to wrath because God is slow to wrath. Look with me, if you would, at Joel chapter number 2. Joel chapter number 2. Not far after Daniel is the book of Joel. Joel 2 and verse number 12. Therefore also now, Joel 2:12, saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart, and not your garments. And turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness. Notice this part. And repenteth him of the evil. Who knoweth if he will turn and repent and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God. There's one thing we know about our God. He is merciful and gracious. He's slow to anger. And I like that one of those last parts there where it says, he repenteth him of the evil. That's the idea where God finally is worked up to wrath. And he's finally ready to destroy, i.e. Nineveh, right? 40 days and Nineveh will be destroyed. And God's going to do it, and somebody humbles themselves. And God says, okay, glad I don't have to destroy you. That's our God. Now wait a minute, what about me? Am I looking for an opportunity to repent of the wrath that would come up? When wrath finally does work its way up, and there is a time for it, am I looking for, am I longing for, am I seeking for an opportunity to repent of that wrath? Am I wanting things to turn out right? Am I wanting people to do well? Am I rooting for them and encouraging them to do well? Or am I excited about the fact that I finally now have enough justification to be angry about things? Well, that's not following the Word of God. And in my social media especially, I need to be careful, and you need to be careful, that we don't allow this verse, James 1:19, to go out the window, because after all, it's just social media. Someday, we're going to give an account for our Facebook account. Someday, we're going to give an account for every post, for every share, for every response, everything. Be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Turn with me, if you would, one more time to James 1. Let me show you, I believe, what God would have us to take away from this. James chapter 1. And notice verse number 5. Remember, we're to be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. James 1, 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Skip down to verse 22. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. You know what I believe God would have us take away from this? We need to get back to God's word. If we're going to speak about anything, let it be God's word. If you will speak God's word, you'll never go wrong. If you do it with the right heart, the right attitude, you know, obviously within the context of God's word, obviously using it properly, rightly dividing the word of truth, all of that. But with all of that understood, if you'll stick with the book, you'll be fine. I can't guarantee you, if you share something that Dave Ramsey said, that you'll get it right. You might be taking part in a lie. But I'll guarantee you, if you'll post scripture, you're always right. And you'll never, ever, ever have to give a bad account for saying what God said in the right spirit, in the right heart, all of those things. You can know. Because as Romans 3, I believe it is, tells us, let God be true and every man a liar. So let this book be your focus, meditation, and let it be your speech. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please help us to be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Forgive us, Lord, in so many ways we are the opposite. Lord, I'm very quick to wrath, and especially, Lord, and when it comes to political things or, Lord, people's reactions to different things or whatever, Lord, it's easy for me to be quick to wrath. And I know, Lord, I agree, that is sin. Lord, for me to be quick to speak and slow to hear is also sin. Lord, forgive me for not being wise. Forgive me for not heeding your word. Forgive us. Now, Lord, would you change our hearts? Again, grant us repentance, that our mind and our heart would change, that we would agree with your word rather than our own thinking. I thank you that you will. I'm trusting you for this. Thank you for this church and these your people. In Jesus' name, amen.